You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean Unglert and Jared Haven. An iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Jared Haben, still in self-isolation with my wife Ashley, joined, of course, across the country by the wonderful Dean Unglert. Dean, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Hey, I apologize for my audio today to the listeners and to you, Jared, of course, Tori, my condolences. I'm doing good, though. I'm happy to be here talking to you guys. We got another big week of Help I Suck at Dating that lays ahead of us. A lot of topical events to discuss, a lot of listener emails to get to. Jared's wearing a bandana across his head like he's straight out of Top Gun. I don't know why he's doing that, but here we are.
I was getting like Outer Banks vibes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Outer Banks? What's that?
Oh, just a television show on Netflix.
I got to start watching TV. You know what I got to start watching is Ozark. Because I over the weekend, obviously, I heard all about the Lakes of Ozarks, which apparently that's what the show's about. I don't really know. But anyway, point is, I'm wearing a bandana because my hair's getting really long. And it gets in my face, and Ashley's sister, Lauren, gave me this bandana to wear. I'm not going to lie, I kind of like it, guys. I'm kind of digging it.
You look cool, I'll tell you that.
I think I look cool. I think some people look like think that I look like a douche. I think
for lack of a better term.
For lack of a better term, I'm trying to think. But I don't know. It doesn't really fit my overall vibe. Like, you never think of Jared wearing a bandana. I'm just like a very plain vanilla guy. But I'm digging it. Not going to lie.
Yeah, it really spices you up a little bit. I'm impressed.
And we just got to change things up. Like, not much is happening in our lives. So, you know, a bandana spices it up every once in a while. So I'm going to start wearing the bandana more often. We do have some topics that Dean and I are going to get into. The first one is about our very own Bachelor family alum, Clay Harbor. Dean, did you hear about Clay and his new fling? He's dating someone from 90 Day Fiancé. Do you watch 90 Day Fiancé?
I hadn't heard about it until I read what we were going to talk about today, and I looked into it a little bit. And my first gut reaction when I read it that Clay was dating someone from 90 Day Fiancé was that he was dating the same girl that was dating the guy that we had on our podcast a couple weeks ago, Ed. And I was like, everything was thrown out of whack. I was so confused for a second, but I looked it up. I think that the term dating is pretty loosely used. Like, it sounds like they went on one real life date, and now they're like going to Skype a couple times. And she likes his big muscles, and she likes that he used to be a football player. That's about all that I gathered from this.
I mean, I like his big muscles. I get it. Well, first of all, it's 90 Day. So her name is Fernando Flores, and she was on 90 Day Fiance, and then obviously Clay was on Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. And she was divorced. So she was her divorce got finalized in March, so only like 3 months ago. You know what's crazy? They started dating via Zoom. Like, I don't think they've ever met in real life.
Right. I think that they have met in real life once. That's what I gathered, but I could be mistaken. But
it does look like they have once in a photo that they are together at, like, a concert or a bar.
Yes. But like I said, my mind immediately went to Ed's fiance from the show, 90 Day Fiance, and I was so confused. So I looked it up, but apparently this woman is from Mexico, if I understand that correctly. She's a model. Like, she she's an attractive woman. And then I looked up her ex-husband, the guy that she was on 90 Day Fiancé with, and I couldn't find much about him. So I don't really know. I don't know how she was on 90 Day Fiancé. I guess I don't really understand the whole show in the sense, but I mean, good for Clay. Happy for him for branching out. It's funny that he, reading that article and like kind of looking at Fernando's Instagram a little bit, she gives me a lot of Nicole vibes. Like, I see a lot of similarities between her and Clay's ex from Bachelor in Paradise.
Well, Nicole's Latin, right? I think she's Latin as well.
Yes, I believe she has Hispanic.
Clay loves his.
But it's just, I guess Clay's just got a type, you know?
Yeah, I mean, hey, don't we all, my friend? So she says her ex is Jonathan Rivera. Do you know who that is, Tori?
Yeah, he's very attractive.
Let me click on this guy. Hold on, let me find out who this guy is.
Like, they're a very attractive couple.
They were.
I told you, I looked him up. I couldn't find him. Oh, he is handsome. He kind of gives me Chris Randone vibes a little bit.
Huh. Yeah, he's got a great beard.
He does have a good beard.
Good beard. They were a very attractive couple, weren't they?
What, Jared, are you shocked by this news? How do you feel about it?
I guess neither of us really know Clay that well. I don't know. I mean, good for him. I'm happy for him. I'm very curious how this whole thing started, because they obviously met in real life once, because they're, like you said, Tori, is a picture of them. So I'm curious if they met when she was still with her husband, which, I mean, I'm not saying that's shady, but, you know, I wonder if there's any flirtation back then. And then she got divorced in March. And then I wonder if they've like snuck out and tried to see each other during quarantine, because they both live in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like that's kind of what's the word? Not acceptable behavior, but expected behavior. You know.
I'm confused though. It's because on the bottom it says a quote from Fernanda. I'm saying that right? Correct? Fernanda.
Uh huh.
Am I an idiot?
Nope, you got it right.
She says, I do want kids, Fernanda says, after Clay asks on the show. What? What does that mean? Were they on a show together?
Maybe their first Zoom date I think that's what it was. It was something, a show in quarantine, and they met on that show after having already met in person. And that's probably where they're pulling that quote from.
She says, if you asked me this question when I was fresh out of my separation, I would say, no, I will never date again. I don't believe in men, but, you know, I'm ready to give love a chance again. She said she's looking forward to her future, and she's excited to touch his muscles and have physical contact once this whole thing is over. She's Mexican. Yes, she's, because it says the Mexican beauty. Yeah, I mean, she changed her mind pretty quickly after March. I mean, good for them, whatever. If you can somehow find a girlfriend through quarantine, I mean, good for you.
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of objectifying his muscles a little bit, but other than that, I guess, Jared, the question for you as it pertains to dating and kind of, you know, obviously the central root of our podcast is, do you think having just divorced her husband in March, is it too soon for her to be, especially like publicly dating now, like, privately dating, I guess, is one thing, but now to be like so vocal about wanting to meet someone new, is that a bad look, do you think?
I wonder if they're actually dating, or if this whole thing's being blown out of proportion because they had a really good Zoom date and they made it public. Because you're right, she just got divorced in March. Maybe they were separated for a while, so maybe she was ready to move on. But a divorce is a pretty exhausting experience to go through, so I'm sure she was pretty excited to have it over. And then I'm just curious, I guess the bigger question for me is, like you said, Dean, I guess you could be boyfriend, girlfriend via virtual dates. Tori, would you ever say you had a boyfriend if you never met them before and only talked to them via Zoom? Like, would you feel comfortable saying that?
No, I think that you have to have that conversation in order to use it.
Let me pitch a hypothetical scenario at you real quick, Tori. Let's say you and Brad Pitt are all of a sudden Zoom dating like once a day for every day during this whole quarantine. He asks you to be his girlfriend. What do you respond? Because you haven't really met him in person yet, but you've just been Zooming with, or, you know, Skyping with him every single day. The emotional connection is there. You're interested in his life. He's interested in yours. But obviously, we understand. It's kind of like the Love is Blind thing in a sense, you know, where all you really get is to be able to talk to them, and you don't really get to explore the physical component too much.
feel like that makes it more exciting, where I would be like, yeah, for sure, we're confident that we don't need any of that other stuff besides just communication and not having the physical aspect of it and still being entertained by each other is like a huge quality you'd want in a relationship. So I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm your girlfriend.
Listen, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. So don't, this is not my whole opinion on this. Do you think we downplay physical attraction? Do you think we downplay the physical part of a relationship? Because sometimes,
what do you mean by downplay it?
Because we always talk about like love is blind, or like, you know, a physical part of the relationship is, you know, not the most important. And, you know, you can believe in love because you can get to know someone before the physical attraction comes. But like, isn't the difference between being friends and being in a romantic relationship the physical aspect? So wouldn't you say that's pretty important? Because what if you found a husband or a wife and you were just, you like had the friend part of it, but you didn't have the romance part of it. So aren't you guys just friends at that point?
You tell me, what do you think?
Well, I don't know, Dean. I'm the one asking the questions here, okay?
Well, let me ask you this, not to get too personal, but I think I remember seeing that you said that you and Ashley are not being intimate while you're staying at her parents' house, which is very reasonable and understandable, right?
No.
So would you consider over the past 2 months just Ashley as a friend, or do you still consider her as your wife?
Well, I wouldn't say we haven't been intimate, but I would say that, you know, the parents are close by, so it's a little, it's not as, how do I phrase this? Not like it's always, you know? I don't know how to say that.
Not as promiscuous, yeah, as you guys are in your own home.
Maybe you just, you know, you keep things down. I don't know.
But feel like you have to communicate a lot more with each other to get through those times? Like, did it change into a feeling, like, does it ever kind of sometimes feel like, oh, I feel like I'm more friendly with my wife right now than like totally. My actual wife?
We've had conversations about that because we've been friends for so long. That sometimes, you know, if I'm being honest, it comes from Ashley more than me, where she feels more like a friend sometimes, and that makes her sad. And we kiss all the time and we kiss constantly, but, you know, she even told me, she was like, I want to be objectified sometimes. And I was like, all right, I can do that. It's hard though. It's hard to objectify someone that you care so much about, and that you're so comfortable and close with, you know, it's hard to kind of like separate that.
I guess I can speak from my own experience. After I broke my leg, I was pretty incapacitated for a long time. And my physical connection with Kaylin took a bit of a hit. But I want to say that I felt even closer to her during that time than I did before, when intimacy was never really a front of mind issue. It was, you know, even though we were less intimate, I kind of feel weird talking about this, obviously, even though we were being less intimate because I was incapable of it because my hip was, you know, rehabbing, I still felt more connected to her than I had in the 9 months of our relationship prior.
Was it easy to flip the switch back on?
Not necessarily. I like him going through some... I'm like going through some like self-worth issues at the moment because I've like put on some fat since breaking my leg and not really being as active. I feel like I'm not like as cool as I used to be. So I'm like going through some self-worth stuff right now. So it's not just like a switch that you can get flipped right back on, but you know, it's a steady progression.
I think a lot of girls, I think when you like think of a heterosexual relationship, you would assume that girl struggles like self-esteem wise like way more than men do. But do men actually do that? They just don't vocalize. Like, it's interesting hearing Dean saying he feels insecure, because like, you would never know.
Yeah, I mean, from my experience, I can only speak from that. I definitely like, I noticed a direct increase in just like general, not just happiness, but like self-esteem, especially like when I'm going to the gym a lot, or like if I'm climbing a lot more, or I'm doing things that interest me a lot more. I think that generally makes me happier, which then in turn boosts my sex drive, you know?
Oh, totally.
Especially like not being able to like even go outside and go on a hike during the course of the past 3 months or however long since I broke my leg. Like, it definitely just like lowered my libido to a point that it probably hit like the lowest trough it's ever been in, I would say.
So what happened after that? Like, I'm curious because I can relate, you know? Ashley and I were friends for so long. I'm sure a lot of couples go through this where they have lulls in the intimacy department, and it's hard to talk about. It's very awkward to talk about, both as men and women. I think as a guy, I can only speak upon it or like in my opinion, the reason it's so awkward is because I grew up in like a world where like as a guy, you're supposed to be able to have sex 25 times a day and enjoy it every single time. You know, like that's kind of the way, you know, growing up in my teenage years. And then that's what girls kind of, I think, always expected or assumed, because it's so easy for a guy to orgasm. Not to like go, you know, deep down this road, but
not to brag or anything, but
it's just yeah, true, right? I mean, everybody knows that it's far easier for a male to reach the point of pleasure than a female. And so I think at times when, you know, I'm not feeling good about myself, like Dean says, you know, where I'm not working out or I'm just not confident about myself, and so my sex drive is down, and there are times where I just kind of, you know, don't feel like having sex, and that causes issues, you know, and because then it creates insecurities for your partner, creates insecurities for yourself. Intimacy is a very interesting part of a relationship, because, you know, it's not the only thing that separates friendship from a relationship, but it's obviously a big factor, you know.
I think that like men kind of know how to navigate women better with their insecurities, because that's more of like our stigma. It's like, okay, make a girl feel special. Like for us to like orgasm, you like have to really like value the woman and make her feel special and loved and romance or whatever. But how do women take care of their men if they're feeling insecure? Like, what helps you guys feel like, oh, I feel special, I feel important? Like, are words cheap in those times? Or is that the time to build up your guy more?
See,
great question, Jared.
I love, oh God, don't judge me from this podcast alone. I love when Ashley like craves me. That's what really turns me on. And I think a lot of guys, at least my friends that I've felt comfortable enough to talk about sex with, feel very similar to me when a girl like acts in a way or says things in a way where it feels like she just doesn't want you. She needs you. And honestly, for a guy, like that's the sexiest thing, that's ever happened to me, when I've encountered situations like that. So I think that's maybe, you know, a piece of advice I could give to women. It's not easy. It's not like, you know, I think especially as a guy, I think guys they're very afraid to open up. Very afraid to talk about certain topics. I find that women, and you know, I'm not trying to generalize, but just in my experience, I feel that women are more open to talking about difficult things or uncomfortable things, whether it be about sex or other issues within the relationship. So it's hard to get a guy to open up. And I would say that's why, you know, there might be a wall or a problem, because I feel like you said, Tori, you know, in my experience, I feel like women are much more open to saying, hey, this is what I need. This is how I, you know, get in the mood. Or it doesn't even have to be about sex. It could be a lot of different things in a relationship. Like, hey, I need this. Like, this is what I need from you. And for some reason, guys, and I include myself in this, refuse to say that. Like, I have a very difficult time, you know, talking to Ashley and being like, this is what I need. A lot of times I'm just like, I'm fine. Even though in my head I'm like, I know I should just be saying what I want to say, which is, this is what I need you to do. But for some reason it's hard.
On the contrary though, I like to kind of answer Tori's question a little bit, is even though Kaylin tells me all the time that she thinks I'm the most handsome man in the world or whatever, if I don't feel like I am in like good shape or handsome, then I think it's just kind of like falling on deaf ears, in the sense where it's like, it kind of comes from within. Like, if I don't feel that way, then no matter what you tell me, it's not going to get me to feel any sort of way. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, yes, it's nice to be like wanted and yearned for, but at the end of the day, at least in my experience and in my opinion, if it's not starting from within, then it's not going to like really do much for me. Like, we have kind of this running gag, Kaylin and I, where she'll like compliment you know, either the way that I look at the moment or like something that I, like a nice gesture that I did for her or like something stupid. And I always respond with, don't patronize me, because it's always like, I always feel like unless I'm actually proud of like the way that I look or the way that I feel or the way or like this project that I just completed, then I don't necessarily think that boosting me up is going to necessarily get me there. And it's like, obviously, you know, I know that she's appreciative and she actually does think that I'm handsome, but it all kind of like starts from, I guess, my like budding insecurities of all these things.
So how does she deal with that though? What should she do? That's a hard question.
We've basically established what we're going to do moving forward is she will continue to either, whether it's be complimentary, and then I like crack a joke at it, and then we like both understand each other. Like I understand that she really does feel that way, and she understands that I'm appreciative of it. It's just our way of like kind of dealing with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
no, that makes sense.
Guys are stupid, we're all dumb.
Yeah, oh my gosh, absolutely,
I agree.
But, yeah, what else do we have on the docket for today? Because I feel like we need to take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break and then we can talk about something that I found very upsetting and really just left me pained.
I can't wait to hear what it is. I'm excited. For the listeners, stay tuned. We are going to take one quick break and we're going to jump back in to what Jared cannot get off of his brain. In addition to that, we're going to play another. So last week we played 7 Minutes in Heaven, and through this quarantine, we're going to be playing some fun dating, kissing, what do I want to call these, teenager-esque games. So this week we're playing Spin the Bottle. It's going to get real hot, real heavy. You're not going to want to miss that. That's going to come later on in the episode too, so stay tuned.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. We were just about to talk to Jared about what has been keeping him up at night Jared, I'm all ears here. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. What's going on over there, buddy?
Well, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV shows, but one show that I've watched a couple seasons of that for some reason, like, I feel a kinship with is a little show called Riverdale. Do you guys watch the show at all? Tori, I feel like you must have seen a couple episodes.
I've actually watched like a couple seasons. Yes.
Okay, so I watched the first two seasons. I loved the first season. The second season, eh. And the third season, I watched a couple episodes. Couldn't really get into it yet, but I really need to start trying. The reason I started getting into it was because Skeet Ulrich was in it, and Skeet Ulrich is the original killer in Scream. Long story, but I'm a huge Scream fan. So I started watching because of that. And then I really started loving Cole Sprouse, his character in it, Tori, do you remember his name in the show?
Jughead
Jones. Thank you very much. And so I heard before the rundown, I saw on E! News yesterday or the day before that Riverdale's Cole Sprouse and Lily Reinhart, who is also a lead in the show, then they were dating on the show and dating in real life, and they broke up again less than a year after they got back together. And it's very sad, guys, because I'm a big Cole Sprouse fan and a big Lily Reinhart fan. But Cole Sprouse, like, I just feel like this kinship with him. I feel like a lot of people do, if I'm being honest. He used to be an archaeologist, which is crazy. Dean, do you know who this kid is? He's one of the twins. You know who he is. You ever seen Big Daddy?
Of course.
He's the kid. He's one of the twins.
Oh.
It's Cole and Dylan Sprouse.
Zach and Cody, Disney
Channel. Absolutely.
I was a little old for The Life of Zack and Cody, I'm not going to lie. It like just passed me by. Maybe I'll watch some reruns. I just got Disney Plus. I'm sure it's on there. But I was very sad, and they broke up, and they've been together for like 3 years. They met on the set. It's like one of those stories that I love, especially as being a movie buff. I love the idea of two people meeting on a movie set and then dating in real life. Like, I was a big Courtney Cox and David Arquette fan because they met on the original Scream. They obviously got married. Now they're divorced. Who else met on movie sets? Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They met on Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, but that was heartbreaking.
It is, because we were all rooting for Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston. I understand.
Right.
But who knows? They might come back. They had that whole Oscar thing where like Brad and Jennifer were holding hands and looking at each other, and everybody was shipping those two. But anyway, that
Here's
was the
a
news.
Few other. Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
What, they meet on Green Lantern?
Mm-hmm. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, don't tell me the name
That's
of the movie.
That's a new show.
Oh, well, they met on that Chevy show, yeah. I was thinking of the movie they did. It was like...
No Strings Attached or Friends with Benefits or something?
No, never mind. It was No Strings Attached, but that was Natalie Portman. Moving on.
What was Lily Reinhart in originally? Because she looks familiar, but I definitely have never really seen Riverdale, so where else would I know her from?
Hustlers.
With
Jennifer
yes.
Lopez.
I never saw that either.
Jared, any others?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I'd have to look up her IMDb. Do you have any other couples, though? I'm very interested in couples that have met in movie sets.
Yes, we have Adam Brody and Leighton Meester. They met on The OC.
How about Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr.?
How much do you love the fact that they're still together? Like, isn't that just the coolest shit ever? The fact that Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar, like Scream King and Queen from the 90s, are still together. That's just awesome. I see that Eva Mendes and Ryan Gosling, I forgot about that. They met on the set of Place Beyond the Pines.
I didn't even know that they were married or together.
Oh, yeah. They have a couple
are
kids,
they
I think.
Married?
Oh, yeah.
They have two daughters.
I think they're married. They definitely have kids together, though.
This
I like
is one
this
of my
game.
Favorites. Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Oh,
have you ever seen Overboard?
Yes, fantastic.
Best movie ever. And they're just like an iconic duo.
Is that the one where she gets amnesia?
Yes. So she like falls off the boat and then he tries to get back at her.
That is
we
great.
We were just talking about Goldie Hawn yesterday, actually. My mom knew Goldie Hawn because Goldie Hawn had a place in Aspen. And apparently Goldie Hawn is just like the nicest person ever.
Oh, that makes my heart so happy.
Yeah, she's like obsessed with her.
Where the women flock, like the salmon of Capistrano. Great place.
That's right.
Last one, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. They met on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, where she auditioned for a role of Will's girlfriend, but didn't get it. But then he got her number and hit her up later.
Wow, that's so cool. She didn't get the role? Why do I feel like she was on the show at some point? She probably made a cameo after they started dating. That's pretty awesome. Jesus, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So they've been together for like 25, 30 years.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy. Who is that?
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, that's crazy. I guess I don't really remember her from that show. But yeah, it's funny to think about how many, actors and actresses just meet on set. It's kind of like, in a weird way, going on Bachelor, Bachelorette. You know, you spend all this time with this person, and then all of a sudden you just like them.
I know. It would be weird, though. Like, I could, because with all the people that have met on set and have become, gone into relationships after they've dated in a movie, they start dating in real life. Would you ever be comfortable Kaylin becoming an actress and having to kiss somebody else in a movie?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be totally okay with it.
You're insane.
I mean, I think we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago, is that I guess you and I are just a little bit different in the sense that I think you are admittedly a little bit of a jealous person, which is totally reasonable and understandable. I think a lot of us are. But I guess I don't feel that way.
No, of course I'd be okay with it. Like if Ashley became a famous actress and she had to go in movie roles and kiss, you know, as much it would suck, guys like, you know, Leo or Brad, if she had to ever kiss, oh my God, that'd be my worst fucking nightmare. If she ever had to do a movie and got paid so much money and they were like, okay, well, you know, she's going to have a sex scene with Leonardo DiCaprio, our marriage would be over. There's no coming back from that. There's literally no coming back from that. Fake sex with Leo is so much better than real sex with me. Just because it's Leo, you know? Anyway, you know who else met on set with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez? Even though they broke up. They met on what the hell is that movie? The Kevin Smith movie. It's Jersey Girl.
Is it Giggly?
No, that's, first of all, it's Geely.
Geely?
Yeah, I don't know why Giggly? They pronounce it like that. Giggly? Could be fun. No,
Jersey Girl 2004.
Jersey Girl 2004.
Okay, but can we talk about this for a quick second? Bringing it back to Lily and Cole. Now they have to work together.
Sure.
Well, if it gets renewed for a season 5.
True, but how do you guys handle being in the Bachelor world? I feel like everything's so convoluted and mixed together. Like, how do you handle it when you know your partner is going to go work with someone that they used to be intimate with or in a relationship with? Like, let's say Kaylin has a crossover with someone else working on like a collab, or like, let's say they're doing a photo shoot together and the two influencers meet. What are your thoughts?
I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, of course I would trust Ashley. You have to have a certain level of trust in your relationship in order to have a happy and successful relationship. But man, depends on how long they had to work together. If it was like a one-day shoot, I mean, whatever you're going to do. But if they were like, oh, okay, they have to travel to Italy together and spend 3 months in this photo shoot room together, I'd be a little nervous.
It also kind of depends on who it is. Like if it's Chris Soules, who Ashley used to date on TV, you're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Chris is a good friend, you know?
Yeah, I guess it really does depend, because I wouldn't be worried about Chris. Yeah, I don't know if I'd be worried about anybody in Bachelor world.
Dean, how would you feel if Kaylin has a perfume shoot with Colton Underwood for the next 6 hours on set together? What do you feel inside?
I would be laughing inside and on the outside too. I think that'd be hilarious.
All right. What about Connor?
I would be laughing even harder on the inside.
Blake?
Oh, I would feel really bad for everyone involved. I don't know. I would just be laughing. The thing is, it's not, I don't know. I don't know. I same boat as Jared. I don't care. I think that she's a grown woman. She's going to go there and be professional and get the job done. And I'm not like worried about, I mean, short of, like Jared said, a sex scene with Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, fine. Leo and Kaylin, I understand they're probably going to run off into the sunset together. But Bachelor Nation is just funny because it's like, you know, you put these people that you want to meet on a pedestal. And then, you know, the more you get to know them, I guess the more humanized they become. So it's like, I'm not like the only one that I'm worried about is like Tyler Cameron, right? Because I've never met Tyler Cameron, but I'm sure if I met him, I'd be like, oh, you're just like a regular guy, just like all of us, you know? And for the record, Kaylin doesn't even think Tyler Cameron's cute, which I don't see. Like, I think he's the hottest man in the world. But he's like the only guy that I'd really be worried about, because I've like actually never met him before. I haven't really been able to like humanize him in my own eyes. You know what I mean? Versus everyone else. Like if it were to happen with anyone else, I'm like, oh, I know that guy. I know how much, I know that he's as much of an idiot as I am, et cetera. So there'd be no fear for me.
I think we should keep these questions coming with the good old spin the ball.
For the listeners, Tori made a very pink sign with some beautiful handwriting, some glitter. It says, spin the bottle. It's exactly what you would expect to see if you were in sixth grade and you went over to your friend's house and into the basement and there's a spin the bottle sign hanging there.
How long did it take you to make?
Oh, honestly, 30 minutes, you guys. There's a few trials that we had on this. We had this one, but this one was too big. So it's a little too basic, too.
I like this. It's got some nice... I like the font you use is like fun and you know,
it's nice contrast because it's a pink poster, but it has some gold glitter and black marker. It's very nice. Very nice and done, Tori. All right. So what are we doing?
A plus.
So we have 12 questions. So I'm going to have this circle here.
Who came up with these questions?
Bottle.
Nice, you're welcome. Corona.
Me.
The bottle. Did you come up with the questions before or after you drank that Corona?
During.
Perfect.
Nice.
I like how we're using a Corona bottle. It really sets the mood.
You know what? We're all sponsored by a Corona, being working from our home, so I figured it seemed right. And it's extra because we're going to get extra...
spicy?
Spicy up in here. So I'm going to spin. There's 12 questions. Let's start with
Wait,
D,
before we start,
that goes first in the alphabet.
Before we start, Tori... as excited as we are to start this game, Jared and I cannot wait. The listeners can't wait. But before we start, I think it would be appropriate for us to take one quick break and to prepare ourselves for what lays ahead. So we'll be right back after this short break.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. Dean, myself, Tori, we're going to play Spin the Bottle somehow over the computer. I'm excited to see how this goes down. So, Tori, you have a Corona bottle, very fitting, and you're going to spin the bottle. It's going to land on a question, I'm assuming?
Yep.
All right, there's so how do we know that this is not rigged? We can't even see the questions. You're just spinning the bottle, and we're taking your word for it.
Because it's all the tea that I want in your guys' life, so it's not rigged.
No, that's fair.
Very fitting.
The things that I want to know. All right, here I go. I am spinning the bottle. Question six.
Who's this to?
This is to Dean. I'm going by alphabet. So D comes first in the alphabet. What was the last thing you searched on your phone?
Put your phone up right
like
now.
On the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it was Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez movie.
Okay, so. No. Besides that.
Well, I was looking up 90 Day Fiance, Fernando Flores last night. That doesn't count either. Oh, man. It doesn't really say. I've got like some tabs open. You guys know what Quora is? Quora? It's like a website where people ask questions and then they answer it. I like to look at that a lot.
This is not going the way I was hoping it was going to go.
I don't really have anything interesting that I'm looking at. I don't know. That's it.
Dean, you're the hippie interesting one, all right? I'm the one who's supposed to be bland. You know the last thing I looked up?
What?
The CDC website.
Nice.
That's very fitting.
I looked up where the AC charge port on my van is because my AC ran out.
Well, that's depressing.
So I guess I'm not really very interesting either. This is why what I was talking about earlier. You know, I'm losing some of my gusto because I just feel like I'm just a domesticated loser now. No, no offense to domesticated losers out there.
None offense taken. trust me, we're all losing a little bit of our gusto right now, or as Austin Powers would say, our mojo.
All right, I spun the bottle again, landed on number three. Three is Jared. Tell me about your first love.
Aww.
Wow. My first love. Oh God. I hope Ashley's not around. She's not going to be happy. I'm talking about this. So we, ironically enough, fits really the theme of this podcast. We met on a college film set and she played my on-screen girlfriend. And, we went in for a reading, like a script reading. We took it very seriously. I was 19. And we went into the conference room and this girl was there and she was very pretty. And I was like, I hope this is the girl that's playing my on-screen girlfriend. And it was. And funny enough, so we filmed the movie. I was terrified to ask her out, but everybody knew that I liked her. She asked me out. So she was going to Boston College at the time. I was in Rhode Island. So one night I drove up to Boston College, hung out with her and her friends. And it was like kind of awkward because we didn't really know each other all that well. And I went up to Boston and hung out with her friends. And I had to drive back that night. So I wasn't drinking or anything like that. And it was fun, but it definitely was not the best first date. So we left. I left. Then the next day or the day after, I called her to see if she wanted to meet up again to go on a second date. Never called me back. And 5-6 months goes by. This was back in January, so now we're in summer. She's home back in Rhode Island for the summer. And the movie's finished, and we're going to have like a small premiere in my buddy's backyard. And I was curious if she was going to go because I called her, and she never called me back. And then she messaged me, she texted me the day before we were supposed to see each other at the premiere, and she apologized, and she was like, well, it was my, you know, I just, could, I don't know, she made excuses, obviously, of why she couldn't call me back, it was whatever. Then we saw each other at the premiere, it went really well, and then we started dating, and then we dated for 4 years after that, and it was a very, very intense relationship. I thought at the time I was going to marry her, and then she was my first love. She was my first everything. So it was very, it was just an intense situation. And so the breakup was pretty intense. And the reason I broke up with her, was because I felt like I didn't know who I was without her. I was always her boyfriend, which is funny because I'm kind of in a similar situation right now where Ashley is definitely, you know, the leader in this relationship. But at the time when I was in my early 20s, I just kind of wanted to do a little bit more self-discovery. And so we ended up breaking up and going our separate ways. And then before I knew it, I was on The Bachelorette. And you know, my life completely got turned upside down after that.
Were you emotionally healed before going on The Bachelor?
Well, mostly, yeah, I'd say mostly. About a year before I went on the show, I really tried to get her back and really went after her. And she was with another guy at the time, and I didn't give a rat's ass. But she wanted to continue dating the other guy. And I was like, I totally get it. I understand. Like, I'm the one that broke up with you. You know, you need to do what's best for you. And also, funny enough, she was going away for a while, doing some incredible work. And we saw each other. This was, again, like a year before. So I guess the boyfriend thing was like 2 years before. And then a year before The Bachelorette, she called me, said she's leaving for a while. She wanted to meet up, say hi. So we met up. We ended up kissing. It was very intense. And then I thought we were going to get back together, but she was going to be gone for 6 months. But I was like, that's fine. Like, we'll stay long distance for 6 months. And then maybe we'll get back together after that. So I messaged her on Facebook when I found out she made it to her destination and said, I'm super excited for you. You know, stay safe, be healthy. Please keep me up to date on stories or, you know, what's going on in your life, so on and so forth, right? She never answers that. She never answers the Facebook message. So a couple months go by. You know, I'm kind of venting about it with my friends, as you know, we all do, and just venting like, I can't believe she didn't write me back, and da-da-da-da-da. And so my friend was so pissed off, she signed me up for The Bachelorette. And unbelievable. Isn't that crazy? So without that ever happening, I don't know if I would ever be on the show, because I don't know if she would ever be, because my friend always told me to sign up, and I was never going to sign myself up. And then when I was venting to her one night, she's just like, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to sign you up for the show. And then she signed me up for the show. And then, you know, a couple months later, I got a call, and then I was filming 6 months later.
Now you're married.
And now I'm married to my wife, Ashley.
Aw.
But yeah, it's crazy.
It all happened for a reason, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it all happened for a reason. I'm not a big believer in everything happens for a reason. Not to be a pessimist, but it's weird talking about your first love, you know? It's nostalgic. It's difficult to talk about because, you know, as anybody who's ever been in love, can tell you, it's just very, it's so intimate. You know, the moments that you have with this person just are moments that you don't experience with other people. So it's always weird going down memory lane and thinking about the course of things and how everything happened. I don't know.
Spinning again for Dean. 6. Would you rather send your nudes to a stranger or send your nudes to an ex?
To an ex, 100%.
What ex?
What do you mean, what ex? It's not like I can pick the ex. I would just say that I think I would trust an ex to not do anything with my nudes rather than a stranger. But I guess on the flip side, if a stranger gets my nudes, they probably don't even know who it is.
Unless your face is in it. That's the question I had. Is your face in these nudes?
Yes.
Well, I guess the thing for me, too, is I've got, like, tattoos down between my waist and my knees that are, like, pretty telling of who I am. So it's just, you know, I guess whatever. People can see my small penis. I guess it's not the biggest thing in the world.
As soon as they see that Instagram verification tattoo, they know exactly who that nude is from.
The Instagram, and then I've got the Carpe Noctem on my hip, too, which is, like, right down near my pee-pee. So, yeah, I guess, you know, in an ideal world, no one would ever receive my nudes. In fact, I don't think I've ever even actually taken a nude before, so.
Is there anybody?
Doubt it.
Yeah, I highly doubt that. Is there anybody of your exes that you would feel comfortable? Like, if you gun to your head and somebody's like, okay, I just took a picture of your dick and you have to send it to one of your exes. Is there one ex that you're like, okay, if I have to send it to somebody, I'm comfortable enough explaining to Caitlin and this ex what the hell's going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to say their name, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
But I would say there's probably a few that I would be like, hey, and then like after the fact, I could get my phone back and be like, sorry, that's funny. Ha ha. Bye. You know what I mean? But I'm being serious. I've never taken a nude before. Okay. I never take nudes and I've never asked for nudes in my entire life. Maybe with like one exception. I just don't like it. It's something that's kind of icky to me. I don't like if I would never want to send one, I don't feel comfortable asking for one. And even like the whole process of like requesting a nude from someone just seems so weird to me. So I just never really did it.
Fair enough. That's interesting with how much you travel. Like, I feel like that'd be like the number one source of like keeping your relationship spicy.
No, I don't. I mean, no, it's not necessary for me. I've talked about this in the podcast before. It's like, I don't like over-sexualize my relationship. Like, as much as I enjoy that stuff, I, you know, it's not like a burning desire within me to like have fulfilled. So a conversation is perfectly fine until I get back to the house where for however long I'm gone for. And I'm totally okay with that. So.
All right. Next question two for Jared. Dream celebrity crush. Go.
Rachel McAdams. She's just perfect. I mean, she's the perfect woman behind Ashley, of course, obviously.
There you go, nice. She's just good recovery.
Oh, God. She just looks good all the time. And she has that girl next door look. And it's just...
Dude, I'm going to stop you right now before you get yourself into too much trouble.
On that note, Dean, this one. Question 12. Yeah. A Bachelor star you slid into your that you have slid into their DMs before that no one knows about.
probably Tyler Cameron, I guess.
No, it has to be the opposite sex.
That's just asking for me to get in trouble with my girlfriend.
No, it's not. It's all prior.
I think before I had gone on Paradise for the second time, I might have slid into Andy Dorfman's DMs. Or I asked Amanda Stanton to introduce me to her. I can't remember. I think it's the latter, not the former. I don't think I ever actually officially slid, but there was a point where I had a crush on her.
I can kind of see that. Big Dorfman guy. Would you have, so hypothetically, say it worked out with you and Andy, would you have told Nick? Would you have asked for Nick's permission to date Andy?
I'll be honest with you. I forgot to even consider that they had ever dated at any point. I just thought she was cute. I think that, Amanda Stanton posted a picture with her. I was like, oh, that girl's cute. And then I clicked on her page and I was like, oh, that girl used to be the Bachelorette. And then that was basically the end of that. So Jared, thank you guys for getting me in trouble. I can't wait to hear the end of this.
You will get Jared in trouble next with this one. Have you or would you ever have a threesome?
I have not. I mean, I guess my hesitation already answers that question. The fact that I'd be open to it. I don't know if I'd be open to it anymore. In my single days, definitely. But the idea, the idea of now, you know, being married with Ashley and having someone come in, I don't know. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable with that anymore. But yeah, a few years ago, why not?
This one I have set up for both of you guys. I landed on question number 5 and I've been waiting on this one.
Sick.
So there's 3 options. Let's start with Dean first. Block on Instagram, marry, Netflix and chill. Okay. This is the Mary F. Kill, but in the PC version. Sure. Block on Instagram, marry, Netflix and chill. Dean, Leslie Murphy, Christine Schulman, Kayla Quinn.
What? Oh, I'm not even going to play this game. This is so bad. I'm not going to play. I'm going to pass. I'm going to take whatever punishment you can give me because I just rather not even discuss this at the moment. So, Jared, what do you think?
Who are the... Well, I don't answer.
Well, Jared's next.
Yeah, so yeah. I get 3 new options. I don't want to...
Caitlin Bristow, Leah Costa, Kayla Quinn.
Who's Leah Costa?
Yeah, who's Leah Costa?
From Australia, wasn't she?
Leah. Yeah. And I have to marry Netflix and chill and block on Instagram?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Let me preface this. I'm going to play the game because...
No, you just got to answer.
I'm married and the only person I want to be with is Ashley.
We understand, but it's the game. You. We're at a teen sleepover party.
All right. I would... Who, Leah, Kayla? Oh God! You're gonna. I'm gonna marry Caitlin because I think Caitlin. We're friends with Caitlin, so I think that'd be a fun marriage. And then I guess I'll block Kayla and I'll Netflix and chill with Leah.
Nice. Good answers.
All right, let me spin the next one since Dean was lame about it.
I'll accept my punishment, whatever it may be.
We'll figure it out, Jared. We have to think of something good.
Sure. Well, can it be like people that you have no idea who they are? You don't know them? So not like exes? Can I give you three names that you don't even know who they are? Or you know who they sure. are, but you don't know them in person.
Sure.
All right. So let's do Caitlin Bristow, because that's the first name that came up. And then we'll do... Okay, Andy Dorfman. Sure, why not? And then we'll do... Who's a good one, though? Who's somebody... Who's this on Peter's season?
Hannah Ann.
Oh, yeah, Hannah Ann. Sure.
Sure. Okay, I'd block Hannah Ann.
Yeah, saw that coming.
I would marry Andy, and I would Netflix and chill with Caitlin. There. Bada boom, bada bing. Next question. Spin the bottle is getting lit up in here. Help I suck at dating. Quarantine 2020.
All right. The next one's for Jared. Tell a 1 minute story. 1 minute, Jared, about your first kiss.
1 minute, Jared.
All right. It was sophomore year in high school. I don't know if that makes me a late bloomer or not, but we were slow dancing. She went to a different school and I went to her. It wasn't prom, but whatever the hell the dances were in sophomore year. And we were doing that slow dance where her back was to me and my arms were wrapped around her waist. Oh, yeah. It was the way to go. When you did that, you were cool. And it was towards the end of the night and I was trying to get like my confidence up to kiss her. And then she turned around. Like she did that thing where she just kind of looked at me like that. I know the listeners can't see me, but you know, where the girl kind of like looks up like puppy dog eyes. And then she just leaned in and kissed me. So my first kiss, I didn't even make the move. She made the move. I'm such a wimp my entire life.
Hey, you still got kissed, man.
That's true. So that was my first kiss, sophomore year of high school at that dance. It was pretty cool. It was a memorable moment.
If you got a kiss back, then you're winning. That's all that really matters. Yeah. You know?
When was your first kiss, Tori?
You know, I can't remember. I think it's so depressing, but I honestly cannot remember anything about that.
I mean, that makes it sound like you've kissed a lot of people.
I just can't remember like the defined moment of like a first kiss. I'm like, was it like seventh or eighth grade? But like, I can't really remember. And I'm like, was it in high school? Like, there's just too many like vague points. So
I get
unfortunately,
it.
It's kind of sad. Okay, here we go. Next
Bottle
one.
Spinning.
Bottle spinning.
This it is my turn to answer this
it
question.
It is Dean's most embarrassing hookup story.
Most embarrassing hookup story. Oh, well, I want it for the sake of time. Just think of something quickly here. Most embarrassing hookups. Embarrassing how? Like inability to perform? Because there's plenty of those. most embarrassing hookup story. I can't think of anything, to be perfectly honest. Can I get a second question and I can come back to this one later?
Well, let's think about it this way. Eugenie Bouchard, I think she's a professional tennis player, actually opened up about one of her worst dating stories and hookup stories. They went out to dinner and then like went back to the apartment and they both got food poisoning. So they were like throwing up on each other like the whole night, like sharing the bathroom. So is there something in that angle of like you did something really romantic and then went completely wrong or something?
Yeah, but the thing is, this is the first one that came to mind. I didn't want to share it because I've already shared it on this podcast before, but I went on a second date with this girl who I really liked. We ordered Chinese food and watched movies that night, and I got really sick and was puking. I wasn't intending to stay the night, and I ended up staying the night, but basically sleeping on the bathroom floor, puking the entire time in the toilet. I got a third date, long story short, but it was still, it wasn't even like embarrassing. It was more of just like unfortunate, I guess. But it's hard to be embarrassed when you literally have no shame like I do. So I don't really think of very many embarrassing moments that can come to mind just because I'm you know, an idiot. So I would say that's the one that first comes to mind. So that must be the most.
Average. All right. Spinning again for Jared. 10. Weirdest habit.
Weirdest habit? I don't know. Obsessing over people like Tom Brady and Rob Thomas, I guess. That's pretty friggin' weird.
It's pretty weird. Caitlin makes fun of me for this all the time. I really like sneezing. I just like get a kick out of sneezing. And so if I feel like a booger is in the right place in my nose, I'll like vibrate my nose and like hum through my nose to trigger a sneeze. And every time I do it, Kayla makes fun of me a lot.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's better than what I had. I got nothing. I'm very weird. I don't want to downplay this. I'm a very weird individual. I just can't think of anything on the top of my head.
All right.
Sorry, how many more of these do we have?
One each.
Okay, great.
Jared, no, sorry, Dean's turn. What is your biggest turnoff in a partner?
My biggest turnoff in a partner has to be, are we talking physically, emotionally? What are we talking here?
Just in general.
Generally speaking. I say indecisiveness is kind of a big turnoff for me. I like decisions, and I don't like wavering. I just want to know the answer to the thing, not indecision. So that's kind of a turnoff. I don't know if I'm on the right track here, if that's kind of what the question was looking for, but yeah, it's like one of the things I get frustrated on is when, and it's not just even romantic partners, it's with anyone. It's like, you know, obviously there's the age old one, hey, what do you want to eat? And then the answer is always, I don't know. But like that, as it pertains to other things as well. So yeah, that's my biggest turnoff.
And the last one, ending on Jared.
Drum roll, please.
What was the last person in Bachelor Nation you texted? And what does it read?
Ooh, I like it.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, then Dean likes it. You guys both get to answer this.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
I
mean,
it's probably Ashley. It is. So do you want me to skip
okay,
over Ash?
Okay, no. No, before, other than your significant other.
All right.
Because it's going to be like, do you want avocados or no? Like, it's going to be like a supermarket run text.
All right. Well, it's Tanner. It's very underwhelming. And the text just says, I feel like it's been so oversaturated. That's it. That was the last text.
Okay, you a picture you were going to post or something?
It does have to do with social media. Yes. Potentially Instagram.
Nice. Mine's funny actually, because I texted Ben 20 minutes ago in the middle of this podcast.
Working hard, people. He's really working hard.
Ben and I sometimes bounce stock ideas off each other, and he encouraged me to invest in Disney a few weeks ago. And since I bought Disney, I texted him and said, hey, Disney stock is up 20% since I bought it. And then that was it. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. All inclusive of Spin the Bottle, movie set romances.
Always a good topic.
What else did we talk about? We didn't really get to any listener emails this time, which is kind of a bummer. But you know what? I like that we're not doing it every time. Let's keep people on their toes just a little bit. Create a little bit of a episodic diversity here.
Yeah.
And big thank you to Jared, obviously, for wearing that bandana. Looking great today.
Every time, guys. All the time. I'm gonna keep wearing it. I dig it.
Big thank you to Tori for spending 30 minutes on the spin the bottle sign, as well as coming up with those fantastic questions.
And at least took her 45 minutes.
Big thank you to all our listeners out there for taking the time to listen to another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Be sure to tune in next week, because maybe we'll suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.